This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast is sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services.
This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Thank you for tuning in to the latest edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast, Manweb's weekly SME show, highlighting critical issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. Today on the podcast, I am joined by the CEO of the Franchise Association of South Africa, Fred Makgato, and we will be speaking about the findings of their latest franchise survey. At its core, the survey assesses the industry to get a sense of the state it is in, the challenges the industry is contending with, as well as trying to identify the green shoots of opportunity that exist within the franchising industry. Welcome to the show, Fred, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you for welcoming us, Akona.
Pleasure to have you on the show. Just starting at the beginning, this is the most recent set of research, or the recent installment of the survey, the 2023 version of 2019. And in that span of about 4 years, there's been quite a lot that has happened in our economy, with a lot of tail spinning events that have had quite an impact on businesses. You can name whichever crisis that has come within that time that has surely has an effect. Can you just speak to me about the 2023 survey and its return with a stronger sample engaging over 300 franchising participants? How does the larger sample size shift understanding of the industry? And maybe you can talk about what kind of nuances were discovered this time around compared to the 2019 installment that were not necessarily prominent in that survey.
Let me maybe just start by indicating why we did the survey, because I think it's important. In your opening remark, you did indicate that this is one of the first installments of the survey since 2019. It's true. And that is a long time. And during that time, we had lots of disruptive issues. So for that, let's thank APSA for coming forward and sponsor this survey, because this survey is not that cheap, if one could put it that way. It required lots of resources, time and energy. So 2019, as you'll have seen in the intro, the sample was lesser compared to this time. And the reason for that is that you wanted to get a real picture of what is happening on the ground. Unlike doing a desktop sample, you needed to get more participants involved to get clarity on real issues. So that is why we requested that the sample be bigger, be inclusive in nature, if one could put it that way. You wouldn't want to take a smaller sample and triangulate it to the larger pool of areas. So I think the difference and the importance of that is that now we've got a sense of what is really happening on the ground and what the impact is and what is the expectation and what is the real feeling. So we are happy that we have conducted the survey using that number of sampling. Great stuff.
And speaking to about those findings that you, or the greater sense that you've gained from this larger sample size compared to 2019, can you speak to me about the key findings then the survey came up with from the people that you and the franchises that you spoke to? What were the major issues that came out of that?
I'll give you one is optimism. You know the era where we come from, COVID-19, large number of individuals passing away, health sector depressed, businesses closing, and so forth, anxiety. But we found that franchisors and franchisees are optimistic about the survival of their business. And this is in the nature of the model that is applied. In 2019, the expectation was 89%, or the optimism was 89%. In 2023, it's 98%, where business or entrepreneurs believe that their businesses are going to survive and have survived. Two, the number of years in business. We know with COVID-19 was extremely disruptive, but we have seen in franchising that the businesses that are there have been in existence over a period of 10 years. And we know that in terms of the SMME index in the country, that small businesses don't survive more than 5 years. So they tend to close. But in franchising, we've seen the longevity of the business that exists beyond 10 years. The number of franchise systems, though, dropped. In 2019, it was 113, and now it's 727. And we understand the reason for that, because of the unpredictable nature of COVID-19. Some entrepreneurs had to innovate. Some had to change the model to do other things. And we got notices from members as to why are they changing, why are they moving away from franchise, because some they really relied heavily on energy, and we saw that logistics were heavily affected under hard lockdown. Then we have the number of franchise outlets. It increased because now we saw larger enterprises opening more stores and attracting more franchisees. And that is good, because when you see larger businesses grow, it means that now they create more sustainable jobs. Because if you are aligned with a bigger business, the chance of failing are very slim. The risk is very slim. But then we saw a major contribution to the GDP, which is, I think, very encouraging. In 2019, our contribution was 13.4%, which translated into 734 billion. Now we have seen an increase of 15%, which contributed 999 billion. I mean, the difference of 200 billion is not a small amount. That shows that we can even do more. And that put us in a state where we engaged with the Department of Small Business and say, you need to look at franchising and see if it cannot be used as government policy insofar as stimulation of the economy is concerned, insofar as creation of job opportunities is concerned. So we are engaging with the department, and we are happy to also announce now that we will be having the minister in the conference on the 26th of October. These are some of the issues that I think that the department is also taking notice. But one of the most important aspects, for far too long, we have seen entry into the franchise sector being inhibitive in terms of Black entrepreneurs or previously disadvantaged individuals. But now we've seen that the number has increased in terms of Black ownership, in terms of franchisee ownership, in terms of our supply chain, which I think it works well for this sector.
Let me come in here, Fred, because the ownership question we will discuss a bit later. You do mention that there has been increases in certain aspects, but the numbers for female ownership has been stagnant. I just want to touch on the points you mentioned that have been the key findings or key outcomes of the survey. You mentioned that the sector is, or the industry is, optimistic about its future. You mentioned the better economic contributions that we've seen in the 2023 survey, as well as how the franchisees in the industry have stayed in business for much longer, kind of defying the odds there for what we know for SMMEs that don't really make it to the fifth birthday. And I'm just wondering if at all the optimisticness of the industry is driven by maybe the support system that the franchisee ecosystem offers businesses or franchisees that enter the industry. Could that be maybe a positive that other SMMEs that are alone or they're just driving their businesses by themselves without the support of a bigger, larger company like a franchisor, could that play in any way in helping the industry kind of defy the odds of what we know for SMMEs right now?
In fact, that is the critical aspect of franchising. Because remember, if you are a franchisee, you buy into an existing business that the franchisor has established, has tested, and has proven to be working. So when you are a franchisee, you buy into that ecosystem where you have some suppliers that are established, you have systems that have proven to be sustainable. So the support from the franchisor is critical. Unlike if you are an independent entrepreneur where you are on your own, if anything go wrong, then you don't get any support from anybody. So I think the business model on its own proves to be sustainable in that you have franchisors and other franchisees who are part of the network, because now you have put resources And this is very important.
And then you also mentioned working with the department in how they approach small business development and kind of using the franchising model to help support better growth in the SMME sector. And I'm just wondering, how exactly would that work? How does the association imagine that to work? Because not every SMME really identifies or connects with an already existing corporation.
Then let's look at our model now. In South Africa, we have the Department of Small Businesses. We have the DRTC. We have all this array of the departments. But we have one voice. One voice is that SMMEs are the backbone of our economy. And this has proven all over the world that SMMEs contribute to the economy of major countries like USA and UK and so forth. So now, we have SMMEs that are failing at an alarming rate. We have unemployment that is souring. We have youth who have gone to school who are thinking that by going to school, they are going to get jobs, and they don't get jobs. The level of poverty is high. So what we are saying to the department is that this is a business model that seems to be working. So let's create an environment where we have businesses that can actually franchise that are not franchised as yet. So let's develop them to be franchisable through the support of the department. The department has funding mechanism. It's got infrastructure through SIDA and SIFA. So let's use those entities to develop businesses to be franchisable. We can give them 2 to 3 years. But then we are also saying there are entrepreneurs that are ready to buy into existing franchise businesses. Let's create a conducive funding business model for entrepreneurs who wants to go into franchising. So that is the approach. And what we have also identified is that in most cases, you'll find that when a franchisor has identified a suitable franchisee, the processes of getting funding from the department is slow, and that tends to affect those investment opportunities. So we have proposed to the department that let's smoothen the process of approving applications that come from franchisors who have approved franchisees. So I think with that collaboration in nature, we will see more uptake of new investment opportunities in franchising. And I think this is one of the issues that the minister will touch on in the conference on the 26th of October.
And one of the outcomes that came out in the survey was a kind of an assessment of the local industry or the nature of the local industry by looking at the categories that were popular for franchises. And the key categories that dominated, it was the fast food and restaurants, retail, buildings, offices and home services, as well as the automotive product and services categories.
Yes.
All of these had above 10% each in terms of the share that they took of the local franchising industry. And I'm just wondering what it is about these categories that makes them so dominant or so attractive.
Then let's look at food. I mean, we eat every day, right? Let's look at all automotive. People are buying cars. If you go on the highways now, they are packed. Then you look at those cars need to be serviced, need to be repaired, and so forth. So that's the mass market. Then you look at homeware, DIYs, and so forth. People are renovating, and we also see new developments coming up at all times. So we see a demand for our accommodation. But let's look at those other sectors that are below 10%. Those are the areas for growth. Because if you look at those that we have identified as bigger sectors, there's oversaturation there. So as the economy, we need to also invest and look at those other areas to create more opportunities for them to grow, because there are more opportunities there as well. As much as we have this for that are growing, they also create a space for those other needed products as well. I'll give you a simple example. If you look at the issue of wellness and health, those are areas where when you have developmental structures and areas growing, you also have the demand for those. So we need to have a mind shift and look at those other areas that are not so popular, because there are great opportunities there.
And just for the benefit of the listeners, some of the industries or categories that were below 10%, even below 5%, was the entertainment, leisure, digital technology, construction, and business-to-business services, as well as personal services. And like you mentioned, there just above 5% was the health, beauty, body, culture categories that might not be as popular, but as you've mentioned, there are opportunities for future growth. Fred, moving on to the challenges now, what were some of the key challenges highlighted in the surveys that the franchising industry is currently battling with, and what exactly is being done to address these issues?
There are three critical challenges that came through. One was the cost of doing business. We have seen over the years that once you have inflation going up at all times, it becomes difficult to source material. It becomes difficult to source locations. So the cost of doing business in terms of inflation, as you have seen, the Governor General at all material times, four times a year, comes to the podium and announce inflation and repo rates and so forth. So that on its own affects our investment opportunities. The next one is the issue of finding the right franchisee, because you have to fit in line and get that off in your hand. We have issues in terms of skills development in the country. You might have seen that there are over 1,000 incubators. They are not coordinated. So it's not easy to go to find a right candidate to be a franchisee. Then the third part, which is very problematic now, is the energy supply. We have unreliable energy supply in the country. Is devastating to business, is devastating to business making decisions, because if you have money that you want to invest, do you really want to invest it in a business that you are not sure whether it will bring return or not? So we need to sort these three things out. One is to bring inflation down. Three is to upskill our entrepreneurs. And thirdly is to deal with the issue of unreliable energy supply in the country.
Lastly, touching on the ownership dynamics that you mentioned earlier, the survey did indicate an improvement in the industry in terms of the spread of ownership for previously disadvantaged groups. We saw that over the years, Black ownership increased from 11% to 21%, Indian ownership from 7% to 18%, and franchises owned by the colored people demographic increased from 2% to 9%. But ultimately, a majority of ownership still lies within white-owned franchise entities, which took up 52% of the share there. And I'm just wondering what kind of conversations the franchising industry is having around ownership currently. I mean, there have been improvements, but like you mentioned, with women ownership, those have kind of stayed stagnant. At 30%, it dropped from the 39% recorded in 2018, but in 2023, it's sitting at 30% now. What kind of discussions is the industry having around ownership, and specifically women taking ownership of the industry?
I think the survey puts facts in front of our eyes to say, especially from 2019, we had a major concern in that business ownership related to 80% to white male businesses. And I think that on its own, once you have that kind of information on your desk, so you need to think hard and strategize as to how can we handle this, because we need to have entrepreneurs empowered, irrespective of their color. And I think the shift clearly indicates to us that we took note of the statistics of 2019, and we made a concerted effort in ensuring that we open up the space for new entrepreneurs, for new investors to come through, to own businesses and create jobs. Because one of the major issues, you have seen that this kind of ownership that comes through also brought in increased employment rates. So it's not only about ownership, but also employment rates. And that also relates into the contribution to the GDP. So I think for us, we'll continuously strive to open up the space for new entrepreneurs to come through. Hence, I spoke about upskilling of entrepreneurs. Hence, I spoke about access to funding. Hence, I spoke about addressing other inflation issues. So that kind of environment gives confidence in entrepreneurs to go into that space. Now, the issue of women, I'm not really sure as to whether, is it the issue of funding, or are they also affected by skills, or is it the historical nature of our society, where we know that be bigger part of our lives. We women were put at the back door. So in opening that door, I don't think there will necessarily be a rush, because this has to be efforts, awareness, participation, attending events and conferences and so forth. So we'll see in time that the wheel will turn into a more favorable situation, where we know that women entrepreneurs are more focused, and they are the ones who are usually single mothers. They take care of families and so forth. So we really wish to see more uptake of those investment opportunities in franchising by women entrepreneurs. There are groupings that are forming up. We have We Corner, that is housed within the presidency, that is driving a process of ensuring that women businesses are supported through programs that are focused on empowering women entrepreneurs.
And just on that point, I'm just wondering, in terms of the efficacy of the strategies that we've put in place as an industry when it comes to empowerment and kind of increasing ownership within the space. Obviously, it is a continuous effort that we constantly have to work at it and put in measures in place so that we can see those results. But I'm wondering, at what point do we say, okay, we need to change tact because what we're currently doing is not working? At what point does the industry have to reflect on that?
I wouldn't necessarily agree that what you are doing isn't working, because if you look at 2019 up to now, we come from a very, very difficult period. We had COVID-19 and we are still under it, even though the regulations are out. We come from riots. You know, the disruption of logistics cannot be undermined. It was very massive. It affected the whole country. We come from floods that also contributed massively to disruptions in terms of logistics. And you know that Durban is a hub of our logistics that supports the economy. So those events on their own, they are not small in nature. So what we need to do is to build on what we have managed to go through from those events. So I think that is where we will actually see improvement. And we just pray and hope that the war in Ukraine and Russia comes to an end, because that also played a part. Now we have a new event, Israel and Palestine, that is coming up. So we are just praying and hoping that we don't get these major events coming through. And we hope that we could see calmness so that entrepreneurs can concentrate on building businesses and creating jobs and alleviate poverty throughout the world. So that is our focus.
And that right there is Fred Makgato, the CEO of the Franchise Association of South Africa, breaking down the latest insights into the local franchising industry for us. Thank you so much once again for your time, Fred.
Thank you for having us.
This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast was sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all our digital platforms, and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at Machoba_A, or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye, and don't forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.